Hello everyone, this is Monsef Asker, and thank you so much for being here with us in this new call of Your Divine Uniqueness. Really happy that Jamie Price is back on the show. I think she's been with us several times. The last time it was last year. And I remember a few years ago when I discovered Jamie's work. It was through her work that I first discovered light language, and the first time I listened to her, I really felt that was something really special about her light language, and I felt the energy, and how to describe it. I really loved it, and I was using her MP3s, in so many times in different situations. Sometimes I had maybe some sleep issues, so I was listening to them, or maybe during the day, and they were really, really helpful. Really, really love the energy she brings, the works that she does, and the teaching that she shares all over the world. So very, very happy that she's here with us to share with us also her work and her light language, and yeah, very excited about what she will be sharing with us today. So today we'll be talking about more specifically about the energies, the current energies, about ascension that we are experiencing in these times, and how we can use them for our highest good. And also we'll have a Q&A later on the call, as always. If you want to ask your questions or maybe share your feedback or comments, you can do that. If you are on the phone or the web call, you can raise your hand by pressing star 2. And if you are on the webcast page, you can type in your questions there on the question box. And also we'll have a group process. So we'll experience Jamie's light language and healing work. So stay tuned for that. We start our discussion. I would like to share with you a little bit about her. So Jamie Price is an energy healer, channel, teacher, and author of the book Opening to Light Language, Humanity's Evolution into Multidimensional Communication. Her work is practical, esoteric, and grounded so that it is applicable into life. Jamie teaches loving empowerment for light workers and empaths on a path of ascension. She developed a healing modality, crystalline soul healing, which is a powerful alchemical template of soul progression. She also channels healing energies in the form of light language, which are transformational creation codes that further align you with your soul. She teaches others to access this profound form of channeling. Jamie also channels Arion, the Lyran Council of Time. These loving Lyran messages are focused on humanity's ascension and connecting you with your timeless nature as you move into fourth and fifth dimensional expression. And so Jamie, welcome to the show. Very happy to have you with us today.
Hello, Monsef. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, thank you to you. I always feel happy when you join us, and feel very excited about the energy that we'll experience with you, and the guidance and information that you will share. And also today's topic is really important. About the ascension energies that we are experiencing, and like from my personal life, and also the feedbacks and communication that I have with our audience, we feel there is some energies that are here to help us to grow even more, and maybe to go outside of our comfort zone, to expand much more than before. So I would love maybe. We can just maybe start with that. If you can maybe give us in general what is happening from your own perspective.
Yeah. So first I want to talk about ascension a little more broadly, and then let's get into some of the things that I'm seeing today. just to kind of find a common verbiage around what I consider ascension to be. So especially the way that Ariane frames it, they talk about how this is such a natural process for us, that evolution is inbuilt into life. And what we're experiencing is really just an exciting point of our evolution as we move from third density into fourth density, which still means we're going to have a physical body, but we are much more consciously connected with the subtle realms. They've always been there. We've always been interacting with them, but now we're starting to be much more conscious with that. That's why for quite a while now, there's been so much more focus around creating with your thoughts and emotions. Because in essence, when you're focusing on that, you're using your subtle energies. Ariane calls that the subtle bridge. That's how we speak to the subtle realm, and our thoughts and emotions are the information that the field uses in order to align us with the things that we're resonant with. And so this path of ascension is all about our conscious interaction with the subtle realm. And the subtle realm has different rules than the physical realm. So we have to learn how to blend the physical experiences that we're accustomed to, like action or controlling and manipulating our environment. And I mean that even in its positive sense. You know, if you want to be across the room from where you are, you technically have to manipulate the space in order to take the steps forward to be at that new place. So it's not even in its negative sense. It's mm-hmm. just neutral. So when we're starting to deal with the subtle realm, we have to readjust how we interact with life. And in essence, that conscious connection with the subtle realm means we're doing much more inner work. Ascension is always an inner job where you're working on your subtle energies, your thoughts and emotions, your vibration in order to become something different. So you're doing the inner changes that shift you, and then that's how you start resonating with what you're going to create next. So those differences in dealing with the physical realm and the subtle realm are what we're going through. And yet this creates physical changes. It creates letting go of some patterns that we had that we may not have been consciously aware of, and really becoming that courageous creative flow that we've always wanted to be. And the epitome of that is that beautiful quote from Gandhi, you know, be the change that you want to see in the world. It's so true in these times especially, because it's all about how we're shifting within, and then that changes our conscious interaction. And this, especially these past 2 years, have just been a constant flow of change. And some of that has been hopefully peaceful for you because you're doing that inner work. And sometimes it is moving fast. Sometimes there's things stirring up. And it's all about how are you dealing with that change? How are you dealing with your own creative flow and really getting your energy into your life? So some of the things that are the physical aspects of ascension have definitely been much more pointed in these past couple of years. And in essence, the physical aspect of ascension really entails the changes in our light body. So, again, to kind of establish that common verbiage, our light body contains our Merkaba, it contains our chakra system, it contains our axiatonal system, and that is the flow of our vibration and how we interact directly with the subtle realm. So we've been going through changes with the chakra system directly. I talked about this a little bit in my monthly energies last month, but since 2015, we've been going through some really pointed changes with the throat chakra. So not only how we communicate, but how we manifest. So if you think back from that time, look for noticing any kind of flow in your communication or how you're manifesting. But essentially what's been going on with our chakra system is we are becoming much more interactive in how we naturally flow with life. So the way that it was shown to me actually much longer ago, back in 2007 when this change really started becoming prominent, was the heart chakra was starting to flow outward from the body more strongly rather than just circling as if you would imagine a clock, if you had a clock on your chest, that hand circling around, that the flow of the chakra system was starting to move outward in that heart chakra. So that's when we were really starting to integrate some of those physical changes of fourth density. And now, since 2015, that throat chakra has been going through that same process. And so we're opening up some of those higher frequencies of manifestation. So this is why constantly they come back to ascension being an inside job, because as you're doing that inner work, the chakra systems are flowing in a different way. You've got much more clarity in the way that you're connecting. The ability now for our love to be supported, our passion, is much stronger. And you can't just watch the news and find this out. You know, you have to become much more empowered within and trusting your own intuition. So the journey then is about learning to work with your own subtle energies so that you are adaptable and more present in your physicality, so that the past and the future are much more contained in your present moment. They've always been there, but now we're interacting with them much more consciously, and you do that through the presence, the present moment, your presence. So the physicality going through that change is helping to catch us up and raise our vibration to a point where our normal physical expression is expanding beyond that bandwidth. So in physicality, in third density, or 3D, whatever you want to call it, the physical senses are much more dominant. And so, you know, we've always had those intuitive senses. They just weren't as prominent on a critical mass level. And that keeps us very focused in the third dimension, the third density, where we are physically focused. Now we're having to learn much more of that inner trust and dealing with the unknowns and taking those creative risks and connecting in ways that weren't necessarily comfortable, because we're amplifying that heart chakra energy, the throat chakra energy, and bringing more of that love flow into our manifestations. So the whole chakra system, the whole light body, ultimately, is shifting. And as we go through this process, that inner work, the trusting of the self, becomes much more prominent. So it's really exciting times, but sometimes it can feel a little overwhelming. Sometimes it can feel like it's moving slowly, and getting into that present moment is always key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I really loved what you said, Jimmy, and especially in those times that you said, we may feel overwhelmed, and it's if we know that it's just a temporary a period of time, and it's in fact like opportunity for us to learn more how to use our subtle energy and to be more present. It can really be very helpful to us in how we live, like our daily life, and how we can how to open ourselves even more to our to our multi-dimensional self and our own gifts.
And you know, the So over the past couple of years, Ariane has been talking about the spiral constantly, and they've been in these recent months, which isn't the first time it's happened. It's just a little more specific right now. But ascension has always been about shifting our relationship with time. From a scientific standpoint with the dimensions, they will consider 3D, you know, length, width, and depth. But that fourth dimension for them is time. And when we are moving into ascension, what we are doing is starting to shift our relationship with the subtle realm. Well, time is a subtle law. You know, we experience it from physicality as if it's linear and fixed. But in reality, it's a subtle law. And so Ariane, being the Lyran Council of Time, they talk about how we are actually in relationship with time. And so when we start utilizing more of our subtle energy flow, where we're consciously looking at our thoughts and emotions and how we're interacting with life, that's part of that process of ascension. It's part of how we integrate that fourth density to recognize that we are much more connected to this universe in ways that, from a physical perspective, we thought were fixed. And it's not just about bending time, because you're still subject to some of these physical laws. You know, you can bend that flow of time, yet what we're mainly experiencing here now is readjusting that relationship so that we start to understand it on a deeper level. And then as we change our resonance, you know, that becoming the change that we want to experience, as we change our resonance, more and more of those rules become available to us. So in essence, it's like expanding our ability to bend time. In January, the energies were focused around patience, because what that does is it opens up your energy field so that you're connecting with the flow of information. When you're patient, you're not just waiting, you are open and you're calm enough in that present moment to be able to adapt as necessary. And so to your point, Monsef, when things are overwhelming, it feels like, oh my gosh, there's so much happening, it's happening so fast, it's hard to concentrate or find my footing. That's the time for patience, which is being in that present moment, and we access that through things like deep breaths, meditating, doing something that's going to calm us, like taking a walk in nature, those things that can help get us into a deeper connection with our subtle self, not just the external realm. And then that continues to build, because in that present moment, which is creating your future, you are open to more potentials. And that key of staying open is part of what we're blending with our subtle energy versus our physical energy, because our physical energy wants to create or protect in those times where things aren't flowing well. So that I need to control the external comes into play. And when you're dealing more from an ascension aspect, you are keeping that groundedness and that balance even when things are overwhelming. It doesn't feel the same always as a beautiful, calm moment, but that there's some access to, okay, I don't like this, this isn't comfortable, but this too shall pass. So there's that opposition energy, but the availability of that patience or that calmness or that openness is what helps keep us moving forward. So really, I'm glad you brought that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And you described this like really, really well. So we we got the message, and also we felt the energy through the words that you shared and how you described it. So yeah, that's very, very inspiring. And like talking about how we use our subtle energy and also dealing with the unknown. And you said about it, like taking creative risks, because sometimes we about taking risks, maybe we need to differentiate between what is coming from our own knowing, or maybe just trying to escape some emotional density that we have inside, and we need to have this patience that you talked about and be present with that for it to be healed, and also differentiate between it and having this knowing to do something, like to create something new, even if like the surrounding is that doesn't show that, like there is no, maybe how to say, physical signs, something like this, that assure us that this can work, but we just have our knowing, and it's like a calling for us to start creating in a different way, in our own way, and not just follow what we were used to do in the past.
Right, right, and it takes some practice to build that trust in yourself and that trust in life, and it's something that, because we're dealing with the subtle realm, there's no hard and fast rules like, think positively this many times and it will manifest. It's different for different things. And so you have to keep moving through until you find that your trust in self and your trust in life is strong enough that in those moments where it's not necessarily comfortable, because those are the times when it's not easy to trust yourself, in those moments where it's not necessarily comfortable, can you access enough openness, enough quiet to be able to hear that connection with the flow of potential? Because whether you call it higher self communication or intuition or your own thought processes, it requires that sense of being willing to stay open in that moment, even though there's not a clear path, and having that patience to allow the clear path to form. And sometimes as we're going through that, learning to trust the self gets confusing, because that 3D aspect of life, that fear aspect that says, if I don't create or if I don't control this, I will, dying being the worst of them, but what other kinds of things you fill in there, I'll suffer, I'll lose everything, to not let that lead your life is that heart energy where you're beginning that process with finding that space of love that understands that life is supporting you in all different kinds of ways. And then that helps to soothe you when the times are a little more overwhelming. So, for instance, when it seems like something goes wrong or isn't going right, can you find the mutual perspectives that seem like they're opposite, but that they are based in not just reality, because there's some unknowns here, but they're based in a depth of trust in yourself and trust in life, and the understanding that what you're experiencing in that present moment is somehow benefiting you. And the caveat to this is you want to be willing to experience the challenges, even though that doesn't mean that you're signing up for suffering. But when you're willing to experience the challenges, you're keeping yourself grounded during the times that are not quite as easy or fulfilling. So So, for instance, when you're wanting to create something and there's unknowns, there's not a clear path of whether or not that's going to work out, can you stay open through all the experiences and look for those subtle clues? Arion calls this reading the clues of life, where you're looking for those positive potentials, but you're not avoiding the reality that is. So you're essentially building a strong inner structure, just to kind of circle back to the inner work. You're building a strong energetic structure that's not reliant on the external circumstances to feel good or feel fulfilled. In essence, what you're doing is becoming neutral with all of the experiences. And this is where some of the positive thinking can get off track sometimes. In well-meaning ways, sometimes people will avoid the reality and just lead towards positivity. But the place of strength is more neutrality, that is that middle road that expands out in order to connect those two opposites. So the neutrality is what keeps you open in that moment. And that's why I said something like, this moment I don't like this experience, but this too shall pass. It's something that opens you up to a little bit more neutrality. You don't have to be perfectly neutral. It doesn't mean, oh, I don't care. That's not just neutrality. That is despondency. that neutrality keeps you open to the positive and the negative that then allows you to connect in order to create new form. It's the subatomic model that Arion uses to teach, because what we see in that is reflected in all of our life, that the neutrality or the neutron, when that is equal to the positivity in the nucleus, that's when you can create new form with a strong bond. If the neutrality is not equal, let's say there's too much positivity but not enough neutrality, too many protons, not enough neutrons in the nucleus of an atom, then it creates harsh reactions, radioactive reactions, that the breakdown then is a little more extreme. So that neutrality is what keeps you open to the positive potentials that you're creating and the opportunities that the opposite or the negative is showing you. So then that conscious choice becomes much more powerful, and it's not about controlling, which was the old paradigm. It's about strengthening that inner realm where you're responding to the movement of the moment. And it takes some trust in yourself, because there's not always a clear path to follow. And when you find those moments of quiet, even though they're fleeting, that's when you're open to the clues of life. So whether it's an inspiration or like a creative inspiration or a song you hear or you overhear someone talking or you see something even on Facebook, it's amazing how life can talk to you to show you those clues of potential that are coming up.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, I really love how you describe these aspects, because sometimes with words it's a little bit challenging to explain that, but I really love how you use your words and how you explain that, and really understand like the message, and we also can reflect back in our daily life and how we used to deal with these challenging energies, and also how can we how to change our relationship with them in our life. Thank you so much. And can we do the group process now before taking questions?
Yes. So what I was feeling when I tuned in before was we're going to do a process to help open the throat chakra and the third eye and helping to connect that to the heart so that we are more able to keep that heart open and express from the heart and perceive from the heart. Nice. Good. So just to kind of give people an introduction that have not met me before, so what I'm going to do is a crystalline soul healing transmission, which is a modality that I developed, and a light language transmission. So you'll hear the light language. The crystalline soul healing is quiet. When I run these frequencies, they are encodements that always concede to your higher self. So whatever's perfect for your moment is what will release or activate. So I'm not choosing, Ariane's not choosing what you will release or activate. Your higher self is choosing that. So afterwards, I'll talk about any kind of information that I was getting. But it's possible that your information may be different because you're releasing or activating based on your own needs. So take a nice, deep, relaxing breath. And I recommend you repeat this intention after me. You can say it silently if you like. I now release all that is blocking my highest good. I activate and understand all that I need to move forward on my path with grace and ease. Haru sashtairu tat ilalam akaim, chanasaru mashtaru ut taim. Dashtairu tsat ikur mekarut, tan dairu makashtaru kur kairatet ilam katsu. Hakaya shtat sur mekarut tan koa koa amcharat sertayat el. Shukur saima. Sham sarumashtaru tatiak lal Dan sai shtaru urkayat uma. Kanakaru. Sashtairu tetsu kuam. Jan sashtairu mekeretiet e. Tan sharu meketsur kem. Shum saru katiretel. Jan sashtairu mekerutetiam a ura mekeret. Kutsam Gan Sharu Satyaratet El Namo Maya Starut Sat Urka Shum Sairu Makarutat Im Jairu Sat Irakayarat Tu Sal Num Dan sairustal ukuam, jam surma karateat ur, jan sarumashtairu tatal nem kuarataim. Sharukam.
tamasairuchdal knaru kom jaruma katsud unum kai taru urtat il. Jairo Matsaro Talukunum Sukwam Shaira Tetsurmin Gamer Tayra Nashtarota Dal Im Jairo Tsaknirukko Homa Ekaratayat Num. Jene Stunde nur noch zu kommen. Hom Jairo Matsaire Tektal Ua Jairo Matietna. Good. Taking another deep breath. Good. Good. So I want to share some of the stuff that I was getting during that one. And remember, you might have some different information because your higher self is activating the encodements for you. So that was definitely very throat focused, and there was a time where I was feeling a lot of release of old stuck energy, the pain of not feeling safe to express is what really stood out the most. Then there was a lot happening to help relax the heart and open the heart flow. There was a time during the light language that I was getting more of a direct translation, and it was connected with that heart expansion, and the felt like a divine feminine energy that's very like a divine mother energy that was talking about keeping the heart open and letting the emotions flow. And of course, that means the positive emotions and sharing our joy, and when it's time to release, really allowing those emotions to flow as well. You know, part of what ascension is about is becoming more connected. The subtle realm is all about connection. And as we move into fourth density, the energy of connection becomes very important. And in order to connect, it requires that strengthen the heart to be able to connect with some of the things that aren't as easy that humanity is experiencing, and let them transform, let yourself release some of the things that might stay stuck otherwise. Then after that, there was more of a sense of openness with the throat as well, although I still feel that going through some processing. And the that was when some of the third eye energetics stood out as well, that there was a lot, a feeling of more activity in the brain, almost a faster movement. Nice.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jimmy. Yeah, I really loved the process and loved listening to your light language. As I said in the beginning, I don't know how to describe it, but I feel there is within my heart something like I feel something special about it and some deep connection that whenever I listen to it, it brings this calm feeling and maybe sometimes connection within. So yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for the process. And also everyone, we'd love to hear from you. What did you experience? Like if you want to share your feedback about the group process, you can do that on the webcast page on the question box. You can type in your feedback there. We will start taking questions in a little bit. Just before that, I would love if we can talk a little bit about the teleclasses, the package that you are offering, Jimmy, for our audience, which is the Brilliant Mind series. And it includes different classes that has light language transmissions and crystalline soul healing frequencies within them. That can help us to unify our heart and mind and use this unified field in our daily life, in our creativity, how we create things in our life. So I would love if we can talk about that and the link for the page, so for everyone to follow with us, you can visit the page yourdivineuniqueness.com/Jamie. yourdivineuniqueness.com/Jamie, JAMYE. Or you can click on the special offer button, which is on the webcast or on the replay page when it becomes available there. Jamie, can we talk about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are seven items.
Mm-hmm.
The Mind of Tesla, Brain Alchemy, Heart Clarity, Conscious Coherence, Mental Clarity, Universal Heart Mind, Psychic Portal. So maybe if you can give us an idea about the experience that we can get through those classes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this whole series is developed to help amplify the natural wisdom, the natural brilliance of our mind. You know, I'm sure many of you have heard we only use 10% of our brain, and maybe that number changes some. Mostly, I would argue that they can only track parts of our brain usage, but we are at a time where we are expanding our brain usage, and much of that is this subtle energetic. So this particular series is developed to help you open up that mind usage, and this first one, The Mind of Tesla, I loved how this one came through because it 1 month I was told, this is what you're going to focus on this month, and it was about Tesla. And so I, downloaded the class and did the class, and then someone emailed me and said, by the way, it's his birthday. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, how weird. I didn't even know that part. So what this class is designed to do is it helps you open up some of that brain usage in the way that Tesla used it. He was very ahead of his time and utterly brilliant. And he had an eidetic memory, if I'm saying that correctly, oh, my goodness, eidetic memory that, there we go, where you can visualize in such detail and maintain that whole memory. So it's really great for opening up that kind of evolutionary aspect of your mind where you're thinking ahead. You know, you've got that kind of inventor spirit that he had.
And then the next one, the Brain Alchemy, this one helps you understand some of the science behind why our beautiful linear brain is actually far more than that. And so it talks about things like the unification theory, the unification scale theory, the fractal model, the holographic model, how our brain is linearizing things that are not necessarily linear. So this helps open up that bridge between multidimensionality and linearity so that we can expand, and yet it's still very applicable here. And then this next one, the Heart Clarity, is it helps you open up that strongest electromagnetic field so that you're able to hear that small whisper of love. This is kind of what we were talking about earlier. When when things aren't necessarily easy, that's when it's harder to access that. And so when that heart is strong, you're able to trust that inner flow much more. And so this one helps open that up so that you're starting that part, that heart-mind coherence, but that's going to get stronger in the next one, the Conscious Coherence teleclass. This one covers how to unite the heart and mind, how to use that brilliance of the mind so that it's following the heart. And in essence, what that helps you to do as you become more coherent, you know, we're starting to move into that unified chakra field. When you are allowing the mind to follow the heart, it's what helps give a pathway to the heart's desires. So your brain is all about linearizing things, and your heart is all about connecting things. So this helps bring those two together. And then, of course, the Mental Clarity teleclass. This one really helps keep that full flow of the mind open to you so that you're using more of the brainwave states, and you're actualizing more of that alpha state, which is the bridge between your conscious and your subconscious mind, so that the theta mind can start leading you more. This one helps with what I call our waking theta, you know, that we are becoming much more actively theta instead of actively beta, which is more of our stress and our action mode. It's still valuable. It's just those need to be in the proper ratios for us to utilize the full brilliance of the mind. And then the item six, the Universal Heart-Mind teleclass, this one helps us moving into that multidimensionality where we start blending universal laws with the physical laws. And this is what I was talking about with fourth density, where we're starting to become more consciously connected to the subtle realms. They've always been there. But as we start using that universal mind, we are flowing more with those broader universal laws here in the physical experience so that you can still experience things like, oh, okay, well, I have to be there in an hour, so I'm using the linear time, but that time frame feels much smoother to you because you're shifting into the universal laws with it of things are moving fast, but you're moving smoothly instead. So that's a really fun one. I love this one. And then item seven, psychic portal. This one helps expand your psychic senses so that you are open to receiving the information. Arion calls our subtle bridge our thoughts and emotions, because they say that's how we speak to the subtle realm. How you're thinking and feeling, that is subtle speaking to subtle. You are speaking to the subtle realm. How the subtle realm speaks to us is our thoughts and emotions and our intuitive senses. So those are about receiving information. And as we expand that, we start to recognize I had a perception psychic senses were about predicting the future. When I was younger, before mine were consciously open, I just thought that's what it was for. But it's so much more than that. In fact, that's the smallest part of it, because those are only ever potentials. That when we expand that, we're actually open to receiving the information much more clearly through our higher, from our higher self, from life. And so that opening of the psychic senses is a really big one. And just to clarify, as just to repeat, as you said, Monsef, all of these contain information where I'm teaching and I'm talking, sometimes I'm channeling, and then they also have crystalline soul healing, light language transmissions, and practical exercises so that you're actually able to apply these into your life and you're experiencing the differences.
Mm-hmm.
So that's everything.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you, Jimmy. And we have a few questions about the package. One of them is, do you feel this program would help with slight neurological issues from PTSD and lingering depression and anxiety?
Yes, so the things that cause PTSD and, let me back up. So depression and anxiety, the way that I see those energetically is they are the same energetic of overwhelm. Your system is overwhelmed. And when you're feeling anxiety, it's overwhelmed in the overactive state. And when you're feeling depression, it goes into stagnation. And they both are awful. So, and that same thing with the PTSD trigger, it's, all of those are caused by emotional trauma. So releasing those energetics is what's imperative. And the thing that's tricky about that is our psyche, some would call it ego or the mind, but all it really is your survival mechanisms. Our psyche will tend to block that coming up consciously until we can handle it. And so sometimes a lot of it comes up at once and you end up in a PTSD reaction or depression or anxiety. And so the light language frequencies and the crystalline soul healing frequencies will help release that in a way that is most appropriate for you. So each of these will help support that some, but especially the things like the Heart Clarity Teleclass and the Conscious Coherence and the Mental Clarity. So, yes, it absolutely would. Those are important ones because we've got so much, you know, we're getting triggered just by the energetics to continue raising our vibration. And that means some of those lower vibration, quote-unquote, things are just traumas. Come up for release, and then you get things like PTSD or depression and anxiety. So, yes, it absolutely can release.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you. And another one is, how long are each of these classes? So I checked the files. Like each class is divided into short MP3s that last between 5 and 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, so overall each class is about an hour and 15 minutes, but they're broken up into smaller segments. Yeah, so some might be 5 minutes and they're probably 15 minutes on the longer side.
And also, do they need to be repeatedly listened to or one run through creates the shifts?
Or one time through creates the shift. You know, you will start seeing differences as your flow is. So it will vary from person to person. What I tend to notice most when I hear back from people is they're starting to feel differences immediately. And usually how that works is you start noticing them in the subtle realm because that's what's most malleable. So your thoughts and emotions are what shift first, and you start feeling a little more peaceful, a little more open, a little more excited, and creative inspiration, and then the manifestations start occurring. So it will vary whether you're seeing it on the first time or with multiple listenings. I tend to hear it mostly from people the first time, that they're already starting to notice some of those differences. But you absolutely can listen to them repeatedly, and you'll pick out different things each time. You know, something else will stand out, and it feels like, oh, my God, I didn't even hear that the last time, because it wasn't what needed to stand out for you last time. So they're beneficial in both ways, and generally people will start noticing things in the subtle realm after first listening.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you. And she replied about the PTSD. Well, that was an immensely helpful and informative response. Thank you so much. I'm purchasing it now. So, thank you. Thank you so much, Jimmy. It's really an honor to be able to share your work with our audience. And really, I really highly recommend it. Like, from my experience, this is something like very powerful and very special that we can experience through your work and light language and healing. And yeah, as I said, it's very happy that we are offering it to our audience. And again, everyone, really recommend it. And you can find the package in the page, yourdivineuniqueness.com/Jamie, JAMYE. Or you can click on the special offer button, which is on the webcast or on the replay page. Very exciting. So thank you. Thank you again, Jamie.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Can we take questions from the audience?
Sure.
Okay. So everyone, if you are on the phone or the web call, you can raise your hand by pressing *2. And if you are on the webcast page, you can type in your questions on the question box. Let's see. Before taking questions, I will read a couple of feedbacks from Destiny. Jamie, your healing transmission was so soothing, relaxing, and totally put me at peace. The heart opening was gentle and nurturing. Very beautiful process. Thank you. Much love and many blessings to you and Moses.
Nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Destiny. And Nicole, so she has a feedback and also a question. In fact, she wrote 3 times. So yes, she was saying in the beginning that she was in the bed because of the flu, and then she said, that was beautiful. Thank you. I got the message. I am a shaman and I can no longer run from that. Wow, so much activity. My head is tingling and the flu headache is lightning. Sweet. Thank you, Nicole.
Good.
And her question is, let me see. Hi, Moses. So excited you have Jamie on today. I've been intending to connect with her upon a recommendation from a fellow healer. This healer observed that I was doing light language with my hands when I was talking. I am fascinated by this potential new gifts and wonder what Jamie might advise or even intuit for me on how to joyfully expand this with the most efficacy and integrity. I have had a lot of lions and lyran references showing up these past few months. Could this be connected to the light language in gratitude?
Nice. Good. My book, Opening to Light Language, goes into a lot of detail about light language and kind of the science behind it, but it also gives recommendations on how to open your light language as well. So that may be a resource that you like. And I teach it a couple of times throughout the year, once in the U.S. and then sometimes abroad. So that may also be something that you feel drawn to open that up. The Lyrans may be connected to the light language for you, but light language can be galactic in nature from any species. It can be angelic or elemental, like fairy or elven, And it spans time, so it could even be an ancient Earth language or a future Earth language. So the connection for you might be Lyran, and for another person it might feel completely different. The important thing, because our communication, this multidimensional communication, is so natural to us, it's something that as we're raising our vibration, it's becoming much more accessible because we're expanding out beyond the bandwidth of our physical senses, our linear senses, and our languages are linear. You know, we base them from memorization, so we're using a certain part of the brain for our regular languages. And as we open up our vibration beyond consciously, beyond our physical bandwidth, we naturally start opening up to other gifts, and light language may be one of them. It's not something that everybody will necessarily experience, and it's not necessary that you do experience it in order to evolve, but it is such a beautiful form of multidimensional communication, and just allowing that flow is an important step, because you're helping to entrain the body to be able to communicate on multi-levels in non-linear ways. And so keep letting that flow happen, and you can expand it with some of those resources that I mentioned. Nice. Beautiful, Nicole. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you, Jamie. And thank you, Nicole. All right, so we have a caller from Nassau, New York, phone number ending with 1893. Hello.
Hello, Monsef.
Hi. what is your name?
This is Eve. How are you?
Hi, Eve. Great, thank you.
Hi, Jamie.
Hello, Eve.
That was a wonderful experience to go through, just with that activation. I felt actually my nasal area, you know, like moving around, a lot of energy there. So thank you for that. I'm going to ask a question which I've never asked before, and I hopefully can get an answer that's very helpful. Okay, so I got a vision once, and in the vision, it was just so explicit, and I felt like, okay, I have to obey, because if I don't obey, then the consequences might be a little bit difficult. And a few years after that, I got a confirmation about the same vision that I had. It's like, was it real? Was I given a message? And as time went on, I still got that information going on. And then I got an almost explicit visual to validate it. But my question is, I feel like not being able to do what, you know, like not being obedient to that vision is causing me a lot of stress, and it's causing me, like, people to question why it is that I'm not doing, you know, certain things that, you know, that would be easy for them or natural, and like a natural way to go through life. So I feel like that's putting a lot of stress on me. I don't know what to do at this point, because it's becoming a very conflicting at this, you know, right now. So what light can you shed on it for me, even though that's a little bit, obscure, but that's the best way I can explain it.
Right. Actually, I'm going to circle it back to what you were experiencing mostly with the transmission, which was a lot of things moving in the nose.
Uh-huh.
And that the nose is all about very refined frequencies. And if you think about it, it's what we use when we're not sure about something to really detect the details. And when you were talking about this vision and that feeling like I must obey or else there's going to be big consequences, and how that is creating that conflict within you, that the no's came back up. And it's about getting into those details of trust for you, and trusting yourself, because I wasn't feeling a strong push or pull on you must obey or you must not obey. I was feeling the core of this is all about your personal power. And part of that came up through the second and third chakra, that as you were talking about it, the second and third chakra became very activated, almost like that feeling of tension pulling in, like that unsure about pushing your energy forward. This is why, as you've gone to, you've talked to other people about it, or whatever you were referring to when you were saying, for other people, this would be a very natural thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's not feeling natural.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about what you're here to experience that's deeply entrenched in trusting yourself, because it's not necessarily a path that is common or a path that is, well, just follow what these people have done and that works, because
mm-hmm.
it feels different than that. It feels like there's a core lesson about your uniqueness and trusting yourself.
Wow. Okay. So you feel like I'm following my gut, and that's real. That should be what I do, regardless of like the stress or the burdens from others, right? Regardless
yes.
of how they view it, even if it's ridiculous or stupid, I was the one who got the vision, and I was the one who have, you know, validated my experiences along that vision. And so I should stick to my guns. Is that what you're feeling at this point?
Yes. And
okay,
so
great.
It's less about trying to push it forward and more about trusting yourself, because
right.
you're going through the time frame and the steps that are what end up creating that as it's supposed to be. And
right.
sometimes the things that were shown, you know, we're shown things before they're supposed to manifest. And because we're dealing with the unformed, it's forming along the way. And that's what you're doing, is you're finding the path. You're creating the path, not just someone else's time frame or someone else's path.
Oh, my God. When you said that, tears almost came to my eyes. Because I feel that that's the part that, it's trusting and knowing what I see and
yeah.
what I've experienced along the path when I gave in to this vision.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I am the one who is experiencing what's going on. Others are just looking in to see whether it's following a natural path or not.
Mm-hmm.
And when you
yeah.
say that, stick to it, because there's no, I can't really tell others what I'm seeing. They see what I see, but they don't,
mm-hmm.
Because it's unformed, they don't understand. They're waiting for something different to happen, and I know what I was told in that vision. It's like if I ever, at the point when I saw that, how explicit that vision was, it was so forceful, like a movie. And, you know, I followed the instructions, but I feel like it's such a pull and in different directions, and everyone wants me to go in their direction, and I don't know. That's the difficult. That's the first time I'm actually expressing it to anyone.
Mm-hmm. And think about how we're taught and some of the collective mind that goes on. That it's harder for us to go off on our own path, our own time frame, our own choices,
mm-hmm.
than it is to listen to others or feel like someone else knows better or someone else can show the way. To trust the self is the harder path, and that's what feels most strong in your journey, is that it really is about trusting yourself and your own timing, your own connection with life. And that means then that you have to work against that mental patterning that is mainly unconscious that says, you're not safe out on your own, all those types of things. So you're on track. It just feels like relaxing into your flow so that the dominant energy becomes I'm open and aware and patient with the flow rather than letting the negative chatter lead. Good.
Okay.
Good, Eve.
Yay. Well expressed. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Jamie. It's been a big
help.
Thank you,
good. Good.
Thank you, Eve.
Yes, thank you.
That's bye for now. Yeah, that was so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jamie. And thank you, Eve, for sharing your experience. So let's see, we have a question from Victor from Sweden. I've realized I'm not very connected to my inside feelings mostly, and it's been really tempting to make drastic changes to my physical life to stir things up, but I suspect it will be a temporary gain that won't last. Instead, I'm grounding and feeling, trying to reconnect. It's very slow, but I'm making tiny progress. Is this always to prefer to pull in strings on the outside?
Nice question. Hello, Victor. Yes, you know, and this is the thing, because the old paradigm was if you want change, you have to take action. And there's still truth to that. We still have to take action. We're still in the physical realm. But the new paradigm is doing the inner work first and then letting the inspiration flow from that. Now, I say the word first, but it's not like you have to get to some kind of inner perfection and then take action. It's that you start from there. You start with the inner, and you're working from that in order to follow the next inspiration or the next action, the inspired action. So this balance of the physical realm and taking action and also working with the inner realm for most of us is going to mean a little less action at first and a little more inner work. But then once you've gotten more of that clarity of following the clues of life, following your inspiration, then you're becomes much more simultaneous of the interaction and the outer expression. So for most of us, the work is to do more inner focus as it then comes into balance with inner and external. So it is not as easy because you're dealing with unknowns and it seems a little more confusing at first. Like, well, if I want to get to point B, then I know I can take these physical actions and get there. So that's a path I kind of at least understand. But what is the inner work that I have to do? And in essence, it's about feeling much more deeply connected, feeling much more peaceful, more patient as you're moving through life so that life is becoming a waking meditation or a waking theta where you're deeply connected to the present moment and you're sensing the information that's behind what's obvious and you're creating in this present moment with the future. Not just avoiding the present in order to have the future, but you're creating in this present moment with the future. So it's much more deeply embodied, and life becomes that waking meditation. And the work to get there is, it's a some of the things that we talked about even earlier, the simple ones, breathing more, meditating more, taking walks in nature, the things that draw you, or even drawing, the things that help you get into that more meditative state. And it takes the courage because there's no guarantees for it. There's no clear path because it's not exactly the same for everyone. Good, Victor. Very nice. Can I just say one of the things that I feel coming up for you, Victor, specifically is a lot of heart connection. And so I'm being shown a picture of, like, watching people, observing people, and kind of loving them from afar or appreciating them from afar, like, oh, look at that child playing. Oh, look at that family dynamic. Oh, look at that challenge. Isn't that interesting? You know, the positives and the negatives, that observing is like a heart connection for you. And so doesn't mean it's the only thing, but for some reason that stood out for you.
Wow, that was so beautiful. I loved it. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jimmy. And thank you, Victor, for your question. Really great one. And we have a question from Enrique from Lisboa, Portugal. He said, I live in Portugal and I follow Jimmy Price's essays. I wonder how we can understand the distance of people who spend hours and hours with the smartphone far from the reality of this planet that we do not love. How can we create an egregory that unifies and expands humanity to true love? Thank you. Jimmy is wonderful.
Thank you, Enrique. The first answer that popped into my head was actually a funny one. Text them. No. But, you know, it's such a beautiful question, Enrique, because one of the things that happens as we're starting to move into more connection with the subtle realm is our technology starts to show us some of the things that are coming up, but then it's for us to make that the human experience. For instance, one of the things that our technology does, the internet or something like Facebook or the smartphones, is it creates a lack of distance because you can hold your smartphone in your hand and connect with someone across the world. So it's showing us things that are potentials, but it's up to us to make that the humanity, to connect that on a deeper level. And so, in essence, it becomes about embracing technology to a certain extent and disconnecting from technology to a certain extent. So you blend the positives that it's showing you and mitigate some of the challenging aspects of it or what it creates if people aren't connecting with the humanity of it. So let's look at that aspect. What it will create if people are not connecting in with the humanity aspect of it is a sense of separation. It will create isolation. And I got this lesson very specifically in my life when I was going through a lot of opening. For a while, I became very isolated, and that was helpful, and it was very pleasant for me. I could, you know, I'm kind of a loner. And then my life shifted in a way that forced me to connect with others. And I was very resistant to that at first. But then afterwards, I was so appreciative of it because I recognized that if I had only stayed isolated, I wouldn't have understood things or experienced things as deeply. So this is the same kind of dynamic that the smartphone has the potential to offer, or the internet has the potential to offer, the isolation. So you can already see that there are people that will take steps in order to not let the isolation or the anonymity or the disconnection of technology overtake the human connection. And so whether it's something that blends the two, like meetups where you're using some of the technology to find more local people, or some of the people that are like, okay, we're meeting for dinner and cell phones go in the middle of the table and anyone that picks it up has to pay, and all of those kinds of things that are designed to create more human connection. It's about finding the blend of those two and being responsible for initiating some of that human connection. It's a beautiful question, Enrique. And one of the things that I felt just as soon as Mansaf was reading your question was your heart energy is so strong, and it's very connected in with your second chakra, that the creative inspiration for you always comes from that heart connection. And this is why when you see a challenge, you perceive it from how can I create more connection where there's disconnection, because that's that heart energy. So keep following your instincts with that, because it is so natural to you.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jamie. And thank you, Enrique. Much love to you. All right, let's see. We have a caller from Florida, Pompano Beach, phone number ending with 340. Hello?
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Is this Mary?
Mary. Yeah. You know, I have two questions, but first I want to say, you know, before the transmission, I was just feeling like I was going to die, just so tired, depressed. And after the transmission, while you were speaking, going through the offer, I changed my clothes because I have to go out later. And I'm pacing around the room, walking, and I look down, and I'm just walking like, just slinging my hips around, walking like Halle Berry and Catwoman. And I thought, what? So, you know, just my whole body was engaged in this pacing. So I'm wondering, was that is that the light language?
Yes. Yeah, so when you were explaining that, the first thing that I saw was like kicking off your heels kind of energy, like, woo! And you were very physically moving energy for yourself. So beautiful. And it's also wonderful that you noticed it. Like, oh, isn't this interesting? Look how my body is just responding. That's you connecting in with your flow. Beautiful, Mary.
Yeah. So you channeled the feline larynx.
Ah, yeah. So the larynx are almost always connected with my energy, but you'll even connect in with the parts of it that are for you. So beautiful, you have that feline connection.
Oh yeah, wow, what a difference! It's like a 500% difference. But my question was about you said something about 4D or fourth mm-hmm. level that we're moving into. Now, I get so confused because everyone's always talking about 5D or going to 7 or 12D, you know. Where are we really, and, you know, what's really going on here? No one talks about 4D except a very few people. So
there's – I'm so glad you asked this question, because, one, some of it's just a semantics issue, but so I was talking about – fourth density, and sometimes Ariane will talk about dimensional expressions. And the reason they say dimensional expression is because ultimately it's just random numbers. It's how we're assigning definitions to things. So dimensions is normally what people are talking about when they say 4D or 5D. They're talking about dimensions. And dimensions are points or rules that create an understanding. the way that Ariane explains it is if you think about your perspective, that's mm-hmm. when you use dimensions. How we perceive things is dimensional expression. So when other light workers talk about 4D or 5D, or sometimes they'll be like, oh, I've moved into 12D or whatever, you know, it's random numbers. They may have a definition for that, but we don't necessarily have clear definitions throughout. Even science uses dimensions in different ways for different forms of science. But fourth dimensional expression, as Ariane states it, is about our relationship to time. That's where we start reacting differently with time and relating differently to time. Five-dimensional expression, 5D, is about connection. That's where we start dealing more with the connection of all things. So that becomes very heart-centered and heart-focused. Now, I was talking about densities, and the density model is from the Law of One. There's other great resources for it, but they talk about density as you would think of that differently as it containing you. So a dimension is how you perceive things. It's your perspective. Mm-hmm. And a density is your overall vibration. So 4D or 5D, when someone's talking about dimensions, that's actually like a subcategory of our density. So it's how we're perceiving our specific density. And fourth density still has physical expression. It's just mm-hmm. much more expanded in order to connect more directly with the subtle realms. So it's like expanded physical expression. Once you move into the higher densities, fifth density starts to split when there's actual physicality and you're starting to move into non-physicality. Sixth density and seventh density will have the components of non-physicality. So, to summarize, sorry, that was a lot. Fourth density is what we're moving into, and then that contains 4D, 5D, 6D, 12D, whatever someone's going to call it as a dimensional expression, is within fourth density. Does that help?
Kind of.
I'll have more. I know.
So what's the plane? The difference between planes and dimensions. What's the difference then between like seventh the plane or I guess they call it astral plane or something rather than seventh plane or sixth plane.
Right. So the way that it kind of depends on how someone is using it ultimately,
mm-hmm.
but the planes of existence will, I've heard some people delineate them more as if they're dimensions rather than densities, but they also, some people will use them as densities. So it kind of depends on the person and the semantics that they're using. So you could also consider the seven planes, the seven densities, but someone else may be using it differently as if it's really just a dimension.
I know, just like they use soul, spirit, and higher self interchangeably,
yes.
And you never really
yes.
know what they're talking about.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
I want to
Good
thank
one.
You for that and
thank
for
you,
the
Mary.
Right language. Yeah, I hope it lasts.
So glad you're feeling better. That's wonderful. Keep swinging those hips, girl.
Oh, boy. Myself out. All right. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you,
Thanks, Mary.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mary. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Much love. That was wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jamie. Very grateful to you for all the answers and guidance you gave to our audience. They were really, really powerful. So thank you so much for that. Thank you for everything, for what you shared with us today on the call. That was very inspiring, very informative. And also the light language was so profound. So very grateful to you for that and also for the package, for making it available to our audience. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Jimmy, for everything.
Thank you, Munsef. It's an honor to be here. I thank everybody for joining me, and thank you for having me. I love sharing my passion, so thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Oh, thank you. And thank you to you also for giving us the opportunity to connect with you and to learn from you. It's always an honor to connect with you. So thank you. Thank you so much, Jimmy, again. And everyone, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for sharing with us this beautiful space and your beautiful energies. Thank you for your great questions, really great ones. And again, I highly recommend take advantage of Jimmy's package, and you can do that on the page yourdivineuniqueness.com/Jimmy. yourdivineuniqueness.com/Jimmy. JAMYE. Or you can click on the special offer button, which is on the webcast page, and also will be available later on the replay page. So again, thank you everyone, and I'm sending you so much love. And see you on the next call. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.